Hi, I'm Daniel Lightfoot, Business Manager at Syngenta Ornamentals, and welcome to the podcast special, a timely and important look at some of the real issues and developments in professional horticulture, featuring interviews and insights from experts all across the industry. This special episode delves into technical issues, new developments, and the practical challenges that our industry faces day in, day out. Welcome to our special edition of the podcast, and today we're going to talk about adjuvants. And who better to discuss it with than Sam Rivers and Andrew Wilson at ITL. Guys, you're new on the podcast. Thanks for joining me. And I just wondered if you could just briefly tell me about what you do at ITL, your role, and a bit about your background. So, Sam, if you want to go first.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. Great to be on the podcast with you. I'm one of the technical area sales managers for ITL. My job entails driving around the country to visit growers and give them advice on their growing media, the fertilizer use, and just get to understand their production processes and see how we can best serve them.
Fantastic. And Andrew?
Hiya, I'm Andrew Wilson. I'm the technical manager for ITL. I help give technical support to our team throughout the UK and Ireland. I spend a lot of time visiting growers, and I'm passionate about horticulture. So it's every day's a dream.
Right, well, welcome. And today we're going to talk about adjuvants. I think something that's particularly new, not new in horticulture, but something that we're seeing more and more of. So I think one of the first questions I'd have is, what is an adjuvant? And why do you think we'll see more of them in the future? So, Andrew, can you answer that one?
Yeah, I mean, an adjuvant, it's sort of a substance that's added to a pesticide product or a spray mixture. And it enhances the pesticide's, performance or physical properties. It's really important in ornamental horticulture because we've got a real range of crop sizes and canopies and things like that. And the use of an adjuvant can really, reduce any spray problems or hopefully eliminate them. And they work well with pesticides with a strong affinity to water, so they can really help with those. But if you're looking at active ingredients that have a contact mode of action, an adjuvant can work really well there. And increasingly, we're seeing more biological products. And the application is really key there, that you get a good application and spread across the leaf to get proper control. And that's where adjuvants really help. And plant enhancers and biostimulants have become more and more important. There's a lot of trials being done with products like HiCure, where you can really see, the improved effect of using an adjuvant, such as Elasto G5 with a product like that, and it really enhances the effect. And more we see tank mixtures, and it's really important, to check compatibility with these things, but an adjuvant can really help here and really maximize the effect of the pesticide mixture.
So Sam, what are your thoughts on that? Because I'm sure, Andrew's, covered a lot of the key aspects.
Yeah, definitely. And following on from what Andrew said, there's a changing environment in the industry with regards to new products. And, I think the key word is going to be more sustainable. Seeing more sustainable options. And this has been driven by a few things. And there's a new law now, which is called the Sustainable Use Directive, or SUD. And that's changing the way we operate on nurseries by implementing new regulations which are designed to promote more environmentally responsible and sustainable use of plant protection products. And the Sustainable Use Directive is now law in the UK and throughout Europe. So growers are expected to follow the legislation. So in layman's terms, it sets out a hierarchy of control options, with the order being cultural control first. So, it's cleaning up nursery hygiene, removing debris, and then that's followed by biological control, and then followed by physically acting products, and lastly resorting to chemical control. So many new products are based on more natural solutions to reduce chemical dependency, but they're sometimes, as Andrew was saying, sometimes not as effective as the conventional chemical approach, and they often require, more technical knowledge on their application to maximize their performance. Biostimulants are a good example. Under the SUD, most would kind of fall into the biological category, and if applied correctly, they offer, a lot of benefits to the plant. But there are limitations in the application of some of these products. They often have less tolerances to the way that they're applied. and they usually have to be applied more often and have compatibility issues. So going back to adjuvants, using technology such as adjuvants can actually help maximize the product performance, which can help growers keep their control options to more friendly approaches under the Sustainable Use Directive. And I think you said it, Dan, like adjuvants have been used and being used quite widely, but we're now seeing this whole new use for them now with these new sustainable options emerging into the market. So they're almost having a resurgence as we see the benefits they offer.
Yeah, I think you guys are, you know, absolutely right. And I think that, you know, working at Syngenta, we're probably closest to seeing the kind of restrictions, changes in chemicals and what we're going to need to do to, you know, make sure that some chemical options remain and really, you know, efficacious chemicals remain, but also exactly that we're able to maximize and improve biologicals, biostimulants. And so I guess it's with that that Syngenta has brought out a new adjuvant and one that you guys are, you know, become really familiar with over the last couple of weeks. So I just thought you could maybe kind of give everybody a bit of a taster for how it works, you know, how does it work best, and do you just chuck it in the tank and hope for the best? I'm sure not, but you'll tell me. Hopefully, you'll tell me otherwise.
Yeah. So, Elasto G5. It's the new adjuvant for use in the ornamentals industry, and it's based on polyglycerol and coconut fatty acids. And as you said, we've been getting to grips with it over the last few weeks, and we're seeing some really good results with it. And it's been developed within the Syngenta team, and it has been widely used in and around Europe, where the adjuvants have maybe been more readily adopted than here in the UK. But the good thing about that is that there's a lot of trial data that goes along with the product, so we can confidently inform growers of the best situations to use it. And like I say, it's based on polyglycerol and coconut fatty acids, so it's based on like natural green chemistry, so we really tick that sustainability box. It's got really good rates of use as well. So I think it's 0.25% or 2.5 mL per litre. You said with tank mixes, it has a really high compatibility in tank mixes, and you know, works really well with hydrophilic molecules. So these are molecules which have a really strong affinity to water, and there's no issue with using it with other products such as lipophilic products or like products that are soluble in lipids or fats. But you know, adjuvants are being developed specifically for that use. So yeah, it's a really good product. We're looking forward to unleashing this on the market and helping growers get the most out of other products that they use it with.
So, Andrew, what's your experience?
Yes, I mean, I've seen lots of adjuvants over the years and lots of vague promises. The impressive thing about the Elasto G5 is the amount of trial data that comes with it and the compatibility tests that have actually been done. And we've seen lots of data showing the impressive coverage of the product. I mean, you know, many adjuvants I've tried in the past have been very good at wetting up the leaf, but they almost go too far and you get a lot of runoff. And the thing about the Elasto is that it improves your retention and also reduces the bounce off, you know, as well as the runoff of, you know, of the spray droplets. And that's key to getting the, you know, the maximum effect from the pesticide you're putting on. And you know, environmentally, you're not wasting product and putting it in the environment. And a key part of the mode of action is that it, you know, improves the foliar uptake. I mean, leaves can be very waxy and it helps overcome that and really improves the uptake of the active ingredient. So combining the better coverage with the increased uptake, it means generally you can use less pesticide than you would, you know, generally have to before because of the improved efficacy of the product, which is a really good thing going forwards, particularly with low spray rates and things like that. But finally, for me, the environmental friendliness of the product and the green chemistry that's involved, you know, makes it really compatible with, you know, biological products. So that's the key for me.
Wow, look, there's some great information there, and I always think it's really interesting when you're looking at that to kind of think like a grower, think like a customer. I suppose it is very easy to kind of look at it from a technology side or a manufacturing side, but you know, I think it's really always important to kind of think, you know, if I was a grower, where would I want to use? If I was sitting there in the shoes or in the seat of the grower, what would I be thinking? Where would I think I can use it? So Sam, you know, imagine tomorrow you're sitting there, you know, looking at managing a nursery, and you've got this product or you've got some opportunities. Where do you think that it fits for you? If you were a grower, where would you use it?
The key here will be to understand your production process and what products you're likely to be using with Elasto. You know, as Andrew's saying, it can help increase the coverage of products on the leaf surface, which, you know, you at Syngenta, you've proven and can show this with a lot of technology. I've seen some really cool fluorescent imaging technology, which highlights the research that goes behind this product. And again, as Andrew was saying, it increases the retention. There's much less runoff and bounce. So it essentially means it improves the contact with the products on the leaf surface. So you might be a grower. You might be using a biostimulant, for example, or a biofungicide or a fungicide in a disease plan that you've developed, let's say, against powdery mildew. Now, powdery mildew being a fungal disease of the foliage, an adjuvant will help improve the coverage and the uptake, you know, as more product is held on the leaf surface. So you're likely to get more efficacy against the problem. And it's been shown with the biostimulant Hycure, again, a Syngenta product, that when combined with Elasto G5, it actually reduces the percentage of disease incidence of powdery mildew in potted roses more so than when Hycure is applied separately. It really comes down to product selection, and that's where it becomes important, because, you know, sensitive species might be prone to phytotoxicity due to the increased uptake of the active. And, you know, we always recommend trialing on a smaller scale first to see how the plant will respond. I'm sure Andrew will delve into this a bit further, because I know he's got some stuff to say on it. But, you know, that's where we're looking to aim this, just get growers to understand their production, what problems they have on the nursery. And we're happy to go there and, you know, talk this through with them and identify and highlight the best areas to use it. The other consideration is some products might have restrictions on their use, and it might be the case that when using an adjuvant, you have to lower the application rate to avoid these environmental issues. You know, some products also already contain an adjuvant, but it's not always obvious. But if you've got a product that you think contains an adjuvant, or you know it has an adjuvant, it's not to say just because it contains it, don't use another one. You know, a lot of products in ornamental horticulture, you know, they've been formulated more for agricultural use, and they're often applied with different spraying equipment than in horticulture. So using a specialist adjuvant like Elasto, which has been formulated for horticulture, might offer better performance.
Andrew, if you were sitting in the seat of a grower or the shoes of a grower, I'm not sure which is the best term, but, you know, what would be the first thing that comes to your mind?
Yeah, I mean, myself and my colleagues, you know, we spend a lot of time, you know, talking to growers and going through solutions to their problems. And it gives us a lot of confidence knowing that we've got a lot of trial work to back up, you know, and give the right advice on rates. Sam's touched on the improved efficacy and the advantages that you can use lower rates. But you know, you need to benchmark those things. And there's a lot of trial work done on poinsettias and safinias and other crops, particularly with plant growth regulators, you know, such as chlormicrot, which have showed that they performed just as well as a full rate when using a combination of Elasto and a low rate. And this is due to the, you know, the increased retention of the plant growth regulator on the leaf surface, and the less runoff. So you're getting a better action, from less product. And, you know, and it's shown to improve the effect of other PGRs such as daminazide and other adjuvants. So, you know, it's better than other adjuvants that have been trialed. So, you know, we've got some real confidence here that we'll get good, even results. And that's what you need with plant growth regulators. You don't want to overdo it, and you don't want to get phytotoxicity. And understanding this is where we can really help the grower.
Oh, fantastic. It sounds like there's some really great opportunities in PGR. I did have to laugh. I said earlier about sitting in the seat of a grower, but all the growers that I've met spend very little time actually in sitting anywhere, and they're out in the field checking the plants, checking crops, and probably don't get enough time to do paperwork. But interestingly, we talked about PGRs and, you know, some really interesting data. But what about fungicides? Is it compatible with all types of formulations of fungicides? How will we know which is the best fungicides to be used for? You know, there's a wide range of fungicides on the market, I guess, you know, and their contact, their systemic, their translaminar. I think fungicides for me have always had, you know, lots of different nuances and options that make it very difficult for people to really understand them and get the grip. There's a lot of wide range of active ingredients. So You know, if you're thinking about a fungicide and getting best efficacy, is there some sort of like, you know, really obvious go-to kind of thoughts that you need to think about when you're maybe trying to get use of an adjuvant with a fungicide?
Yeah, I mean fungicides, you know, it's important to understand the target that you're aiming at. If it's a powdery mildew, obviously you need good contact on the leaf surface there, and that's where elasto can come in. The beauty of it is that it's been tested in lots of combinations, and it's compatible with all formulations. And even if you're unsure, we've got a team out there with all the data that can advise on that. But it's really important to understand what you're trying to achieve. And as I say, not just spray something on there. You've got to think about what you're trying to achieve. And if you are going to use a tank mix, try and understand how the different products are going to work together rather than against each other.
Yeah, no, that's great. I think one of the questions we normally get into Syngenta would be about which active ingredient works where. And I think that's, if I could give one bit of advice, it'd be understand the active ingredient, because they all work in a different way. As you said, they're contact, they're systemic. And so really understand what you're trying to achieve. Understand the active ingredient, and then you're really best placed to be able to put the right product on at the right place, and then using maybe adjuvants you can improve it further. But you also said there's a team out there and people able to help. So Sam, can you give me a bit of an idea of what kind of support's available out there and where people should go to look?
Yeah, particularly with like every product you're using, it's not always as straightforward as checking the label to identify what product you might be using, but it's often a good starting place. You know, we've got a big team at ICL of really skilled, experienced professionals. They're always on hand to answer any needs. Likewise, you can speak to manufacturers. So touching on what you were saying about, you know, fungicides being that there's so many different versions of them, it's really important when we say type of fungicides, because they're often classified by mode of action by the Fungicide Resistance Action Committee, or FRAC. You know, and according to the FRAC classification, fungicides are divided into different mode of action groups, and then each group is then split further apart. And the point of this is to generate a risk system, particularly aimed at resistance issues. So each fungicide is given a FRAC code. So if you're using a fungicide that's say in FRAC code 11, and for example, the problem you're trying to treat develops resistance to the fungicide in FRAC code 11, it's likely that the problem you're trying to treat has also developed resistance to products in that same FRAC code category. And it's really important to understand this, especially when you're planning fungicide programs, particularly if you're dealing with pathogens that have multiple generations per season, such as botrytis or powdery mildew. All this information is available on the you know, FRAC website. And where this kind of fits in with adjuvants is that obviously we've mentioned that it improves product uptake. But obviously some of these products will have restrictions on their use. So we always say do the due diligence and always ask someone if you're unsure before using it. I mean, that's just intended to give a real basic overview of that. I think there's an entire whole other podcast in there, Dan. So we can maybe book that one in the diary.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we might be coming back to discuss that one in a bit more detail. But yeah, really fascinating and great to see that there's a lot of support out there for people that want to, you know, delve into it in a bit more detail and make sure, as Andrew and yourself said, just pick the right product at the right time in the right place. But moving away from fungicides, I guess we see a lot more biocontrols entering the market. And so, you know, could you give a bit of an idea maybe now how adjuvants might work with those? I think we've seen some good early data on how potentially there's some synergies and some opportunities. So, yeah, Sam, do you maybe follow up on that in terms of biocontrols and what you see there?
Yeah, I think the point we've probably mentioned a few times on this is that there's a lot of new environmentally friendly products arriving on the market. And you know, there's one called Tigro, which is a new biofungicide to emerge into the market. And the trials, again, it just highlights the backing of the data that goes with Elasto G5 is that the trials have shown it's not only like compatible with these products, it actually improves their efficacy when compared against an individual application. It's been, you know, in some circumstances, Elasto has been shown to work with products applied at a half rate and shown greater efficacy than if the product was applied at the full rate without Elasto. we always recommend sticking to label recommendations, but it just shows the power of those products. And the trial work behind Elasto just helps reinforce how much research and development has gone into it. We can use this to give growers the best advice and confidence in using it, and also because there is so much proven trial data showing it works with a wide variety of products, I believe it will also encourage the use of more sustainable options that we see arriving on the market.
That's fascinating. And it's great to see a whole new raft of kind of biosolutions coming onto the market and it moving really, really rapidly in that direction. Interestingly, I worked in the turf market for a long time, and I think one of the major differences or things that I've seen since, you know, working in horticulture was the fact that phytotoxicity in ornamentals and horticulture is really, really a big issue and something that's really, really important as a watch out and to make sure. I think if the turf looked a little bit, well, it's the Open Championship is coming up very soon, and I think you'll probably see some slightly straw-coloured grass in various different places on the fairways, and that's not a massive issue there. But in ornamentals, you know, phytotoxicities are really important in terms of making sure that the plants are as healthy as possible. And so, you know, is that something that growers need to take into account with products like, you know, as you mentioned, Andrew, with adjuvants as they kind of improve the efficacy, then is there some issues around phytotoxicity?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, Dan. I mean, you know, compared to lawn grass, ornamental horticulture has lots of different species and cultivars. And, you know, it's quite easy to damage plants. A lot of these problems are caused by poor application or application at the wrong times, humidities and temperatures and things like that. But using an adjuvant such as Elasto G5, which has been heavily trialed, you know, we know that it's completely crop safe, even at high rates, even up to three times. And the phytotoxicity is not going to come from the Elasto. It's just considering the other products you're using and the rates you're using and the application techniques. But you know, we've got a lot of confidence from the trials and the compatibility that's been done that we can give the growers the best advice on that.
And so, Sam, have you got any thoughts on that? Have you seen stuff in the field, or is there any things you want to add to that? A really important point, I think.
Yeah, I think, like we've touched on it previously, it's just always trial this on a small area and identify what crops you're using, understand what crop, like plants you're using these products on. You know, Andrew mentioned, like, you know, some crops are more sensitive. And yeah, in ornamental horticulture, it is a fine line between throwing away a plant and it being in a sellable condition. And if you see any signs of phyto, it often doesn't make the cut. You know, that's where we just say exercise caution, because, you know, Elasto will have more active, you know, staying on the leaf. So the benefit that less chemical is being used, but, you know, you have to look at what plants you're doing. I think those growers who grow things such as poinsettias know how temperamental they can be. And yeah, the message I'd say is just really trial on a small scale first and understand your production system.
Oh, look, fantastic. I've been amazed moving into this business, the variety, the amount of different products available, the different crops and species, and mixing all of that together in a matrix can make it incredibly difficult to really be 100% sure that you've got the right thing on at the right time. So you did mention about, you know, you can contact your ICL area sales manager, but how in practice would you do that? What's the easiest way to get in touch?
Yeah, I mean, we're quite contactable. We're quite easy to get hold of. Obviously, we've got 12 people in the field as technical area sales managers who are in contact with their customers regularly. So most growers would, you know, would have their number, but obviously available from our website. We also have a lot of brochures and technical information and videos on the website. So we can give a number at the end to contact us, I'm sure.
Okay, great. Well, I'm going to just ask one more question, and it isn't on the list of ones we've prepared, so I keep you on your toes and make sure you're okay. One of the things I wrote down and made in my that trial on a smaller scale, that seemed like a really good idea and a really good thing to think, okay, I'm not quite sure I can try it before I branch it out. Having thought about adjuvants in general, Andrew, I'll go to you first. So what one bit of, if you could pull one bit of advice out of all the things that we've looked at today, what would be the bit that you would think to the growers if you're going to concentrate on anything or think about anything in particular, this bit of information is one to kind of grab hold of?
I think in terms of, you know, the product and getting the best results, it's really thinking about the application and planning your application and getting the water volumes right and the rates right so that you don't come into problems. I think that's where most people struggle, the basic things and applying it in the right conditions. If you get the basics right, you know, you're on a good start. I see lots of problems that are caused by, you know, not planning what you're doing and doing it at the wrong time in the wrong conditions.
Oh, brilliant. And Sam, you've had a bit more time to think about your answer, so which is good, but you've got stick to the basics already used. So what would be your kind of tip and a bit of advice that you would give growers as something to grab hold of?
Yeah, I'd say like looking at the availability of all the products on the market, it can almost be a bit overwhelming. So it's often really good to just really focus it on one particular problem that you have. And just try it out on that. Like it kind of builds on from your small scale approach, but it kind of goes a bit more beyond. Just pick one problem, focus on that, and get used to how the product works, and take it from there.
Well, guys, look, thank you so much for your help and advice on this relatively new subject. I'm sure we'll see much more about it, and I'm sure ICL, Syngenta, and all the other companies in this industry are going to be really focusing on adjuvants, and so hopefully we can contribute to the learning. And I really appreciate you guys joining today. Have a great day. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you want to know more about Syngenta Ornamentals, then please visit our new website, syngentaornamentals.co.uk, and have a look at the Syngenta blog, which is on there as well, which gives some really good technical information about some of the issues that growers are facing at the moment. You can find us on social media, on Instagram and Facebook. Just look for Syngenta Ornamentals. If you have any questions, please email me at daniel.lightfoot@syngenta.com. Enjoy the rest of the day.